People will tell you to follow your heart, but that's what we always do. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. When you get right down to it, we're always living out what we believe, not what we say we believe, but what we truly believe, and we're always pursuing what we love. The question is, do we see the big reward way off in the distance, or have we decided that today's little pleasures are all we can get? On Friday, we started looking at Moses as an example. Here's Jim to continue his message, Faith is a Choice.
I want you to look with me, please, tonight at Hebrews chapter 11, where the writer is demonstrating for us what faith looks like, how faith functions, what faith is and what faith ain't. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll begin, please, at verse 24. There are a number of verbs here that describe how the faith of Moses demonstrated itself. Notice with me, please, verse 24. We'll read the passage, then go back and comment. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the short-lived pleasure of sin. For he considered reproach for the sake of the Messiah to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since his attention was on the reward. By faith he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. By faith, Moses instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea as though they were on dry land. When the Egyptians attempted to do this, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after being encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute received the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disbelieve. What a dynamic portion of Scripture. There are six or seven things in this passage I'd like to highlight for your attention tonight and urge you to study them deeply. We begin with Moses when he had grown up. He made a choice. The text says that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know whose Pharaoh's daughter was? You know what her name was? Let's see if I can find it here. Ah, there it is. According to the chronological data furnished by the Old Testament, Dr. Homer Kent Jr. writes, the Exodus from Egypt occurred 480 years before the fourth reign of Solomon's reign. That's 1 Kings 6:1. Inasmuch as Solomon's fourth year is commonly fixed at 966 BC, the Exodus must have occurred in 1446 or 1445 BC. Don't yawn in my face like that. Hang on, we're going somewhere. Moses was 80 years old at the time of the Exodus and must have been born 1525 BC when Thutmose I was Pharaoh of Egypt. His daughter, Thutmose I's daughter, was the famous Hatshepsut, who married her half-brother, Thutmose II, you're yawning. When he died, after a very short reign, she took over the rule. At first, she acted as regent during the childhood of Thutmose III, a son of Thutmose II by a harem wife. But she soon established herself as pharaoh in her own right. Dr. Ken continues to talk about the treasures of Egypt during this time in the 18th dynasty. He talks about the tomb of Tutankhamun, who was the later pharaoh of this prophecy, this dynasty. Moses deliberately made a choice that placed the luxuries represented in that tomb beyond Moses' reach. Did Moses reject being called the son of Egypt's first female pharaoh? The dates match. Now, what does that say? That says that when we're told here that Moses, when he had grown, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he's rejecting the throne of Egypt. He would have been next Pharaoh. No small decision. Remember, at that day, in that time, Egypt was a dominating world empire. Far beyond the sense that our nation is a dominating world empire. Moses looked at the spot that represented the navel of the power, political, military, wealth of the ancient world and said, nope, I'm not going that way. Could you do that? You notice it says that Moses rejected, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to suffer with the people of God. It doesn't say people of Israel. It says the people of God. The people living on the earth at that time who had a direct covenant from God, a covenant which promised that their ancestors would one day bring blessing to all nations of the earth. Whose ancestor, the seed, would become redeemer for all people on the earth, for all time, for all eternity. He chose to suffer with the people of God rather than enjoy the short-lived pleasure of sin. That's not suggesting at all that Moses was a sensuous man. It's not even hinting that Moses would give up the harem or that Moses would give up any and all sensual pleasures. The point of the passage is Moses recognized where God was in his generation. Moses recognized to whom God had given covenant promises that would ultimately lead to the domination and the blessing of the whole world, that would provide for the world a Messiah, a coming special prophet who would be far greater than Moses. Moses recognized all of that, now listen, by faith. By faith. Moses is banking that there would be a girl called Mary who would give birth to a boy baby in Bethlehem without the aid of a husband. Moses was banking that that boy would grow up and be the sent one. That's what Messiah means, chosen or sent one. And that he and he alone would provide salvation for all men everywhere on the basis of God's grace through faith. Moses balanced those two things in his mind. A present empire, his mama being Pharaoh. His shot to the throne guaranteed. Against the value of the promise God had given to this people, and through them, the Messiah that would come to earth, and through that Messiah, all nations of the world being blessed. One was tangible, immediate. The other was ethereal, future, in a certain sense, abstract. And just because the people of God, who were the recipients of that promise to Abraham through Isaac and Jacob, just because those people were in slavery to another people, did not back Moses away from what he believed by faith. He saw them as the people of God. He identified with them, recognized that he was born into that race. He was one of them, not just by faith, but biologically. And as we saw in our previous study, felt that he was the one whom God would use to fulfill his promise of the coming Exodus. Boy, that's a lot of faith. Moses chose to suffer affliction with the oppressed people who were the people of the covenant, the people to whom God had promised when they were slaves. He chose to identify himself as one of them. Can you think of a more dramatic illustration describing what faith is? Faith is taking what God says, putting all of your confidence in that, understanding that in that promise, God holds tomorrow, he holds the future, he will shape the future, and when he does that, these blessings that he promised to these people would indeed inherit the world, and ultimately, the new world. And Moses said, I want that. So he suffered willingly. Tremendous. Now notice the next phrase that gives us the next thing. It tells us then in verse 26 that he considered reproach for the sake of the Messiah. That is, Moses understood through the promise made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the people of the race in which he was born, he understood that that promise pointed forward to, very clearly, to Messiah, to the God-sent one, to the one we call Christ, which is the same word. Christ means anointed. Messiah means anointed. They both point to the same thing, that God himself would provide for himself a lamb, a sacrifice for sin. God would himself provide for himself a king to rule the nations. God would provide for himself and out of himself a prophet who would not only promise the future but control it. Incredible. So how is Moses different than you and me? He's not. You make the same choice every day. So do I. But here's another clue that may help us. It says, he considered, that is, as he put all these things together in his mind, he considered reproach that moved the world toward the coming of the Messiah. Reproach was greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since his attention was on, watch this, not just the promise, the reward. When Jesus was here, he crowned this same concept when he said to his followers, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, or moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now that's not poetry. It's critical, because where your treasures are, that's where your heart's going to be. And your heart dictates your choices. We have a couple busy days just ahead of us, and looking into the future, we were anticipating, Tricina and I were anticipating how the rest of the week would work out, and we had talked about when we're going to get caught up with rest, because, you know, we're not young spring chickens anymore. And while I may be able to do as much as I ever did for 10 minutes, I can't do it for 10 hours. Capish? Compute, got. So we were trying to figure out where's time to catch a breath and where was time we would go full bore and where we'd catch a breath. And we had kind of decided that maybe Friday night would be a good time to kind of catch our breath. And then I got an email from my oldest granddaughter, Grandpa. Our football team's coming up to play football against Worthing Christian Schools Friday night. Will you be there? Why, of course we'll be there. Your heart controls your decisions. What was Moses' heart? His heart was focused on the reward. What really matters? Now, this came as a result of the word says, he considered that the reward of all that waited for him within the promises of God, which would be provided through the Messiah and his coming and all, that reward would be infinitely greater than any suffering for the moment. Now, brothers and sisters, I've tried to be alert in my life for what's going on in the world. Let me say to you, I never expected that born-again brothers and sisters in the world would experience what they're experiencing now. And I never, ever thought it possible that fellows and brothers and sisters who are born-again believers in the United States could face in their lifetime the ultimatum, death or defection. And you may. If you do, does the present tenor of my life point in that direction? Have I decided, like Moses did, have I decided if that moment comes, what my response will be? Or am I kind of saying, well, you know, maybe I can negotiate, maybe I can this. What are you going to do if that day, that moment, that experience comes? And it could come. It came for an unexpected lady who was doing her job in a plant, just a couple of states from here, when she faced the choice. Recant, or I'll cut your head off. She wouldn't, he did. That's not Africa. Hear me? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Moses here is a timely example of what to do in times in which we live. But there's other things about him I want you to see tonight. He left Egypt behind. This has to be the Exodus. And then he persevered. See that? He persevered as one who sees him who is invisible for 40 years. From age 80 to age 120, Moses persevered. He put up with it. He persisted. He remained faithful. He remained steadfast for 40 years, leading a group of people in the wilderness who were kept there because of their own failure. 40 years he persisted. And then ultimately, when it came time to enter the promised land, God took him home to heaven. But notice what it says. He persisted as one who sees him who is invisible. Do you see him who is invisible? Is the God of Scriptures real to you? Is he to me? Does his presence in my life factor at all into my decisions. If you were writing my life story and you had access to all the facts, how would you predict I would live the next 10 years? Is there evidence in my life that I know God personally? Moses persevered for 40 years. People wavered. Enemies challenged him. He faced impossible circumstances. He was always on the cutting edge of despair. People said a lot of things about him, distrusted him, and yet he persevered. He persevered. He stayed by the stuff. How could he do that? Obviously, he put human opinion way down on the ladder. And he must have faced those situations, those circumstances, as one who saw the invisible God. That doesn't mean that he literally saw God. It means that God is invisible, but Moses knew that invisible God was present in everything he did, present in every decision he made. Do you see that? Does that come close to how we live? Or is God just something we dust off for an hour or two on Sunday whenever it's convenient? The songs that we sing and the truths we celebrate, are those just for making us feel good? Or do those affect what we do? Do we sit there in the restaurant? Do we sit behind the wheel driving the car? Do we, in those moments when it's all quiet and we think nobody else sees? God sees. What a concept. What a brilliant choice on the part of Moses. It says very clearly that his attention was on the award that's out there in the future. It says also that he persevered as one who sees, present active tense, sees him who is invisible. Look at what's next. By faith, Moses instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood.
Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That gem of wisdom from Jesus comes after his advice to store up treasure in heaven. In other words, make a different choice about where you invest your time, energy, and money, and your heart will follow. And we always follow our heart. Jim's message is called Faith is a Choice, and we have one more segment coming tomorrow. The entire talk can be yours on CD for a gift of $7 or more. That's for the single lesson. Our series, God's Ultimatum, Volume 2, consists of 20 CDs packaged together for your offering of $69 or more. Ordering information is coming up. Thanks to Team Right Start for providing the funds and the prayer cover that are essential to getting this program out. It's our privilege to co-labor with you for the gospel. Maybe the Holy Spirit will tap you to advance from listener to partner. We hope so. Please pray about that and thank you. To give or to order CDs, you can call our office at 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. Or contact us through the website, where you'll have access to many, many audio resources. It's rightstartradio.org. You can play the radio programs and play or download complete sermons. Don't worry that you'll get solicitations from us if you give. Some ministries do that, we don't. Again, the website is rightstartradio.org, or mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Of all of Moses' accomplishments through faith, we don't often think about this one, the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. We'll look at that next on Tuesday's Right Start.